so many ways. I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the tears flow like the rain. But through it all, He's never changed. God is still good.
God, the thunder is crashing. I believe God when the storm is on.
forth this morning and I started my day. God's mercy was with me all of the way. His goodness stayed close by to meet all my needs. My Lord is taking good care of me. I'm counting my blessings as a journey along. Good friends, a family, and a place to call home. The church where I worship, the Bible I read. My Lord is taking good care of me. And I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I move into my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. When Satan comes tempting and he brings up my past, I tell him I'm forgiven, it's buried at last. The blood shed on Calvary now speaks for me. My Lord is taking good care of me. And I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. Blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. And I'm never forsaken, I'm never alone. One day I'm moving to my brand new home. I'm blessed beyond measure, just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me. Just look close, you'll see. My Lord is taking good care of me.
Amen. My Lord is taking good care of me. And so many times we take God's blessings for granted, His opportunities for granted, the things that He does for me. I don't know. Did anybody see Wednesday night's virtual message? Yeah, some of you did. If you didn't, go back and watch it, and not because of who was giving it, because it's not about me, but go back and watch about God's benefits that He's given us. So many times we take the benefits of God for granted, and I'm so thankful for all of the benefits that God has given us. If you will, take your Bibles, turn me to the book of Jeremiah this morning. We'll be in Jeremiah chapter number 8. I do ask that you be praying for me as we get into the Word this morning, that again, I know that it's not me and it's not my delivery or anything else. It's all about the Spirit of the Lord taking His Word and speaking to our hearts. But just pray that I won't ever do anything that will hinder that. I don't ever want to do anything that gets your mind on me or get your mind on something that I'm doing. But always in listening to the Holy Spirit, for Him to speak to your heart and for Him to speak to your mind. And I pray that this message will speak to you this morning. As we get into the book of Jeremiah over in chapter number 8, we know that Jeremiah was also called the weeping prophet. And you go back and you read the book of Jeremiah and you can see what a love that Jeremiah had, but also what a tough assignment that Jeremiah had as he was a prophet here to Jerusalem. And as he goes and he's a prophet to Jerusalem, the thing of it is Jeremiah's message to them is that destruction is coming. So we see here as Jeremiah is delivering this message of destruction, and this message of destruction was because of some things that were going on that shouldn't have been going on. The children of Israel here that are dwelling here, they should have been worshiping God. They had been, hey, they've been told about the travels out of Egypt. They've been told about how God provided for them. And here they are, and they've turned their back on God. Hey, they've taken His benefits for granted. They've taken His blessings for granted. They're out here, they're just living, and they're going along with what everybody else is doing. Does any of this sound familiar to maybe what's going on today in our society? Yeah, God's been good to us. God's been good to us. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about the church. I'm not talking about just Christian people. But God has been good to our country as a whole. and we're just going along and we're just living and we're doing anything that we want to do, and we're just taking His benefits for granted. We're taking His blessings for granted. Well, here in Jeremiah, we see that Jerusalem, the children of Israel, were doing that. And now here comes the prophet Jeremiah, and he's got a message of destruction. And he says, you've got invaders that are coming from the north, and they're going to take over you. And it is because of some things that's going on. It's because of the altars that you have built to Baal. It's because of the way that you're sacrificing your babies unto Baal upon these altars, and you're worshiping Baal. And because of that, you've got to be held accountable for your actions. So in the book of Jeremiah, we see that there is accountability coming to the children of Israel because of them turning their back on God. Let's stand together this morning. Let's read Jeremiah chapter number 8. Let's begin reading with verse number 18. Let's see what God's word has to say for us this morning. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of the people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and their strange vanities? Listen to verse number 20, a very powerful verse. It's not the message this morning, but a very powerful verse that Jeremiah has here in chapter number 8. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, we thank you for your word and all of the things that it teaches to us, the way that it reveals things to us. God, I ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to be in this place this morning. I know that you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you would be in the midst. And God, there's nothing in me that can bring this out in a way that'll help us. But if your Holy Spirit will work this morning, God, and take your word and speak to our hearts and our lives, things will be accomplished, God, and I ask you to do that. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they'll feel that conviction, that they'll realize that they need a Savior, that they'll ask forgiveness of their sins, and God, that their eternity will change. God, we thank you for all your benefits, for all your blessings. Help us to never take those for granted. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Jeremiah chapter number 8, here in verse number 22 is where I want us to focus. As Jeremiah is crying unto the people here, and he's telling them this message of destruction, and he says, I can't understand why there's no healing in Jerusalem. I can't understand why we got to continue on the path that we're on. God has sent his word. God has told us what's going to happen, and we continue on the path that we're on. Same way today, God has given us his word, and God tells us what's going to happen, but yet people still will not draw closer to God. Yet people will still not look at the love that God had for us by allowing Jesus Christ to come and give his life. But here in verse number 22 is where I want us to take our focus from this morning. As Jeremiah has proclaimed this message, look, I want you to see what he says in verse number 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? And Gilead was a place that was recognized for having a salve there. It was a healing salve. It was a balm that when you had an infirmity, when you had something that you needed that healing salve for, that it was there in Gilead. He said, is there no balm? Is there none left that we can be healed by? And he's not talking about a physical element that he has. He's looking at this spiritual thing that they have going on in their life. Is there not anything that can heal us of what we have going on? Let's continue reading. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? As we look at verse number 22, there was one thought that came to my mind. As you see there in the second part of that verse, it says, is there no physician there? I can remember being a young boy and watching TV and the sitcoms that used to be on TV were a lot cleaner and a lot simpler and a lot different things going on. But I can remember some of those sitcoms that would be on that every time that they were there in a crowd, didn't matter where it was at. It didn't matter if they was in a theater. It didn't matter if they were at someone's home, if they were at some kind of show, and someone would go down, someone would have a heart attack, someone would have some kind of element that jumped on them, that they would go out there, and the first thing they would do as they begin to jump down and see what was going on with the person is they would say, is there a doctor in the house? Is there a doctor in the house? Now, I don't know, some of you youngins might not have ever heard that before, and that's sad to say. I like to still think I'm a youngin, but I'm not anymore. But as I look and I remembered all of those shows many, many times, they would turn around and say, is there a doctor in the house? Is there anybody that can give help to this person that needs help? Is there anyone that has the knowledge or the power that can come and help in this situation? I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter number 2 real quick. I want you to turn over here with me and let's read a few verses in Mark chapter number 2. Verse number 15 is where we'll begin to read. Verse number 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Jesus is sitting and eating with a bunch of sinners. He's sitting and eating with a bunch of people that nobody else wanted anything to do with. They turned their nose up at him, didn't want anything to do with him. In verse number 16, and when the scribes and Pharisees, when the religious crowd saw him over there, saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's read that one more time. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician. I want you to look this morning as you see those words. If you're using your Bible this morning, you see those words are in red. And Jesus is talking to the ones, to that religious crowd that come over there and said, why in the world are you eating with the sinners? Why in the world are you eating with the publicans? Why are you eating with the scum that we have here in our community? Why ain't you sitting with the religious crowd? Why ain't you sitting with the ones that know all about you, that wear the fine robes, that walk around town, and everybody knows that they're from the temple? Why ain't you with those guys? And Jesus said it is not the whole that need the physician, but it is the sick. And I want you to notice here how he said here in verse number 17 that he was the physician. I want you to know this morning, as you go back to those old TV shows and you talk about, was there a doctor in their house? Is there a doctor in the house? Somebody needs help and we need a doctor this morning. I want you to know that the great physician, Jesus Christ, is in the house this morning. I want you to know, as we're sitting here this morning, if you have a need in your life, if there's something going on that you need help for, I want you to know that Jesus is here for you. It's not the whole that need the physician, but it is the sick. It is the ones that has come this morning and we're willing to say, you know what, I need help from God this morning. There's something going on in my life that I need help from God. There's no shame in admitting that you need help from God. The shame is coming in here and knowing that you need help from God and walking out of here the same way. Spent some time next to a hospital. I say that because I was outside of somebody's window talking to them on a phone this past week. I couldn't go in the hospital, but I had to stand outside the window and talk to them for a little while. And I could see all the doctors and the nurses talking to the fellow there. And as he was laying there, this guy was about 74 years old. He don't go to the doctor. He said, there's no telling what they might find wrong with me. I couldn't tell you the last time that I had been to the doctor. And you know what? I guess he felt like he was pretty healthy, that he never needed a doctor. But you know, COVID hit him, and that COVID hit him hard, and he was at home, and he began to realize that he couldn't breathe well. He began to realize that maybe pneumonia was setting up, and you know what he done? He went and found a doctor. He went and found somebody that could help him, and I want you to know this morning that the doctor that was there at the hospital was able to help him and able to treat him, and he's still being treated this morning. But I want you to know that the doctor that can help you with anything in your life, and you say, well, you just don't know what's going on in my life, preacher. It don't matter. The physician can handle it this morning. The physician is in the house. As he is here, he's not here for the ones that don't need help. But I dare say that every one of us, if we would be honest this morning, that there is help that we need in our lives. We either have spiritual help that we need help with. Maybe we have emotional help that we need help with. Whatever your need is this morning, the physician is in his house. So you know what? As I go and I go to the... I don't like to go to the doctor. Let me just put that out there. I was talking to my dad a couple of weeks ago because he had to go for something, for a reason or another. And he said, I hate going to the doctor. I said, Daddy, I hate to even go to the dentist. I said, I don't like to go in there. I'm feeling fine. I feel great. And I go in there and I sit down. And I said, the next thing that I know, they're telling me how all the things that's wrong with me. Quit looking at me trying to figure out what's wrong with me. I'm okay. It's going to be all right. That's the way I feel. I know that's their job and they're helping me. I understand that. But I'm sitting there going, I don't want you looking at me telling me what's wrong with me. Well, you know what? The reason that the churches are empty now, The reason that there's Christian people that won't show up in the sanctuary on Sunday morning is they don't want to come in here and let the great physician go over them. They don't want to let the great physician speak to their heart and show them where they need help. They don't want the great physician to look in and say, you know what, this right here is wrong in your life, and I want to help you with that. And it's not that he's going to condemn a lip. John chapter number 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If he wanted to condemn us, he would have never gave his only son for us. But yet he loved us so much. He wanted a relationship with us. He came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This morning, the great physician is here for your help. He don't want to just tell you what's all wrong with you. He wants to take you in there and take care of you and help you to be in the right relationship with him. So if I go to the doctor, I want to know what's going on with him. Autumn had her back surgery here a few years back, a couple of years ago. Time gets away from me. Maybe it was, I don't know how long ago it was. She could tell you the date. But as we went to that doctor and she said, look, I didn't even realize how serious this thing was. She called me one day at work and she said, you know we got to stay overnight, don't you? And I was like, stay overnight? Yeah, we stayed to it. I didn't understand what all they was going to do to her. I don't pay attention. I'll just be honest with you. I don't pay attention to what's going on in my life. I do whatever Autumn says do, and I can't pay attention to nothing else. She said, you know we got to stay overnight. I said, no, I didn't know that. Okay. Well, they went in there and they had done a real serious surgery on her. What I didn't understand is when she knew that she had to have that surgery, that she went and she asked about doctor after doctor to see who was the best doctor, to see who was the one, was the right one to do the surgery, to see the one that she wanted to take care of her while she was in there. And to her knowledge, she found the very best doctor that there was to take care of her. I want you to know something this morning. You're in the presence of the very best physician that there's ever been, the great physician that can help you. But you know what? She wanted to know some other people that had had an experience with this physician, that had an experience with this doctor, and she began to ask around. So this morning, I want to give you some references from God's Word about our doctor, about our physician. I don't want you just to trust him on my behalf just because I said he was the greatest physician. I want you to look in God's Word with me here in the book of Luke. So we'll take one physician's reference to another physician over in the book of Luke. As you go through the Bible, you can see many instances where we meet the great physician. If you look in Luke chapter number 5, verse number 12 through verse number 14, you'll find that there was a man that had an incurable disease. He had leprosy. And if you recall back in the Bible, that leprosy was incurable. It was very contagious. It's almost like COVID, if you will, because once you get it, you better go get quarantined. You better go stay by yourself. You better go out here. And if anybody comes around, just the same way that people want you to do now, if I got COVID, if you come around me, I'm supposed to go, COVID, I got COVID. You know, that's what they done in the Bible with leprosy. If they had leprosy, they took them outside of the town. They quarantined them out there, and they couldn't come around anybody else. And as this guy was out there, and there was no hope, there was no cure, there was nothing that could help him in his life. But yet, when Jesus passed by one day, he was healed of his leprosy. In Luke chapter number 5, verse number 17 through verse number 26, we find that there was a man that had palsy. He couldn't walk. He was like paralyzed. And one day, some friends of his heard about a man named Jesus, and they knew all of the miracles that he had done. So they picked him up on a stretcher one day, and they took him over there to where the doctor was in the house. And when they got over to where the doctor was in the house, now this is Luke telling us about this, and Luke was a doctor. So as Luke is telling us about this, you can take the word of one doctor to another. So as we go and we see these men, and they take the men there to the house where everybody's at, and they can't even get him in because the crowd is so big. The Bible tells us that they went up on the roof, and they began to tear the roof off, and they let their friend down to Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he reached down and that he picked him up and that he was healed. We also know that Jesus looked at him and said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But as we look at a one doctor's viewpoint to another, we see that his palsy was healed. In Luke chapter number 7, verse number 11 through verse number 17, we see that Jesus was entering into a city. The name of the city was Nain. As he was going into Nain that day, there was a widow woman that was coming out. And this widow woman wasn't coming out by herself, but she was coming out with a bunch of mourners. She was coming out with some people that was carrying her only son that had died. And you can imagine the heartbreak that was in this mother's heart. It's never right. I know as we stand here this morning that it's not up to us and we don't get to choose, but it doesn't ever seem right for a mom or a dad to outlive their children. But here's this little widow woman, as she's coming out the city that day, and they're carrying her son, they have happen to bump into Jesus. I want you to know you don't ever just happen to bump into Jesus. Jesus puts himself in our lives in the right times and in the right circumstances so that we acknowledge who he is. And as Jesus is going into the city of Nain that day, as that little widow woman is coming out and she's about to go bury her son, no doubt she was heartbroken, and Jesus stopped the whole funeral procession. He ruined the whole funeral that day. He went over there and he said, I want you to know something. I want you to know something, that your son is not dead. And he reached over and he raised him up from the dead. And verse number 15, he said, and he saw that, and the one that was dead sat up and began to speak. That is a great physician that we are serving this morning. In Luke chapter number 8, verse number 26 through verse number 39, we find a man that was dwelling in the tombs. He was possessed by devils. The Bible says that they had done everything in town that they could to help this guy. And they finally took him out into the tombs and they tied him up with chains. They put fetters on his feet. They put bracelets on his wrists and chained him there in the tombs. But yet he would break loose for those. And when Jesus showed up that day, as he was walking through the graveyard, there went a naked man running out through the tombs that day. The Bible tells us that he went to Jesus and that Jesus cast the devils out of him. And we find him at the end of the chapter clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter number 8, verse number 40 through verse number 42, we find a man that come to Jesus one day. And as everybody was gathered around Jesus, he comes up to Jesus. He says, I need you to come home with me. Doctor, I need you to make a house call today. I know that you can help me. My 12-year-old daughter, she's about to die. And as Jesus is having that conversation with this man, and as the crowd is gathered around him, as they're all wanting to get close to Jesus, man, that's what we need today, is we need a crowd that wants to get close to Jesus. But as they're all trying to get close to him that day, there was something, there was virtue that left his body. And Jesus said, who just touched me? Who just touched me? Right in the middle of a conversation with Jairus. And as they're sitting around and the disciples look at him and said, how in the world are you supposed to know? Or how in the world are we supposed to know who touched you? Look at the crowd that's around you. And Jesus said, no, I felt virtue leave me. Who just touched me? The Bible tells us that there was a woman that had an issue of blood right in the middle of one man's need. This woman had a need, and she had the faith that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she'd spend all of her living on doctors. She'd been to every doctor that there was. I want you to know something. I don't know what you got going on in your life, and you may have been seeking help from a lot of different sources. You might have been doing a lot of different coping mechanisms. You might have been doing everything else in the world. And I know sometimes medication is something that we need, but I want you to know what? That medication might can help, but Jesus is the answer. That is our great physician. And that day, as that woman touched him, as she had that issue of blood, and the Bible tells us that she was healed that day. Well, at the end of that conversation with that lady, there was a man that come up and said, hey, Jairus, leave the master alone, because I just come from your house and your daughter's dead. The one that you come seeking help from the physician, she's dead. Jairus sat there, and I'm sure that his heart began to break. I'm sure as he began to look down at the ground, maybe in his mind he was saying, why didn't he help me? Why can my daughter be dead? But Jesus looked over at him and said, hey, don't worry about it. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Everybody else had so much unbelief in their heart that they began to laugh at him. But the Bible tells us that Jesus went to her house, that he went up into her bedroom and he took her by the hand and he said, maid, arise. And she got up and he said, now go feed her that she can get some strength. I'm glad that we're serving a great physician, that when everybody else thinks it's impossible, when everybody else says there's no hope, that we know Jesus Christ is the hope. When all this was going on, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. The woman with the issue of blood is healed. Jairus' daughter is brought back to life. We see these things happening. In Luke chapter number 9, verse number 37 through verse number 42, Jesus heals a boy that was possessed by devils. In Luke chapter number 17, verse number 11 through verse number 19, Jesus heals 10 lepers. You know, in all of these events that Luke tells us about, that Dr. Luke tells us about our great physician, man, what a wonderful, wonderful example that he's given us of how great our great physician is, of how awesome that he is. And I believe as you read these examples that was given to us in God's Word, that you can see there is nothing that's too great for our physician. You know what? I've been with families before that were in the hospital. They were under the best physician's care that was there. And I've seen those people have to receive news that the doctor's done all he can do, and there just isn't anything else that we can do for you. Some of you may receive that news before, and I've always thought how empty that must be. How hard it must be to hear someone and say, we've done all of it that we can do. There's just nothing else that we can do. I want to tell you something this morning, that you'll never reach the end of all that God can do in our lives. The great physician will never look at you and say, I've done all that I can do, and there's just nothing else that can be done. I want you to know that He has the answers for everything that's in our life. Now, for this last example I want to give you this morning, we got to go to Joshua. We got to go to Joshua, not the book of, but the story of. This story we won't find in your King James Bible. This story belongs to me. See, there was a night that I was laying in my bed as a 7-year-old boy, and there was a diagnosis that come my way. There was a knock that come at my door, at my heart's door that night, and as I heard that knock, the sweet Holy Spirit let me know, and my diagnosis was guilty. My diagnosis was, even as a 7-year-old boy, that I couldn't be perfect enough, that I couldn't live honest enough, that I couldn't live righteous enough to make it to heaven. And the diagnosis that I was given that day by the Holy Spirit as He spoke to my heart as I was laying there, hey, I couldn't explain all this to you at 7 years old. I told a man just this week, he said, I'm just not sure that I understand. I'm not sure that I understand about God's love. I'm not sure that I understand the Bible. I've never read the Bible. And I said, you know what? I didn't understand the Bible either at 7 years old. But what I did understand and what I believed in my heart is that God loved me so much that He allowed Jesus Christ to come and give His life on the cross. I did believe, and I did believe that Jesus was put in a tomb, but 3 days later that He got up and He's sitting at the right hand throne of God today making intercession for you and I. And I did believe that if I would ask Him to forgive me of my sin, that He would forgive me of my sin. He would write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I didn't even know what that was, but I knew that God made a change in me that night. As I was laying there, my diagnosis was guilty. As the Holy Spirit let me know that I was guilty, and as I began to lay there and think about it, and I began to say my little bedtime prayer before I went to sleep that night, and I knew that there was no treatment for what had been revealed to me. I knew that there was no way that could be cured. My prognosis was that I was going to die a sinner and I was going to go to hell. I remember so plain that night as I lay there that when I prayed my little prayer and I said, now I lay me down to sleep and I pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I should die before I wake. And when I got to there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what if you should die before you wake? And I knew right then that my prognosis, that I would go to hell at that very minute. You say, well, preacher, you was 7 years old. You'd never been drunk. You'd never done no dope. You'd never chased women. You'd never done any of those things that we consider all these terrible sins. You'd never stolen. You'd never murdered. You'd never done any of those things. But you know what? When I realized that I needed forgiveness of my sin, I was just as guilty as the worst sinner you could think of. And I'd have went through the same hell as those people. And the Holy Spirit revealed that to me. And He said, your prognosis is that you will die and you will go to hell without Jesus Christ. It was terrible. It was awful. And I can remember laying there crying in my bed. I can remember laying there knowing that if I died before I woke up, that I would spend eternity in hell. But I want you to know, as I laid there, I didn't verbally say it. I didn't mentally say it. But I want you to know, as I think back on it, there was something that happened at that moment. There was something that happened in my life. Someone said, hey, is the doctor in the house? And I want you to know that the doctor was in my house that night. The great physician was there. I want you to know that as the Holy Spirit revealed unto me what was going on in my life, that I knew right then and there that the doctor was in the house. He began to squeeze my heart. He began to love me like I couldn't even explain to you. And the doctor was in the house. And you say, well, preacher, what in the world are you saying? I'm saying that there was a doctor there that night, and I needed a blood transfusion. I needed something in my life that nobody else could give. But I want you to know that there was a sacrifice on an old rugged cross, and my doctor, my great physician, He gave the ultimate prize. He gave His life's blood so that I could be forgiven of sins. He gave His life's blood so that I could stand before God righteous because of Him, not because of me. But the great physician was in that night, and my eternity was changed. My prognosis was changed. My life was changed right there as a 7-year-old boy. I want you to know something. I've had people stand up in service, Man, what a wonderful accomplishment it is. I keep turning the page and there's nothing on the next page. I've had people stand up in services and say, "You won't believe it. We went to the doctor and this tumor that was supposed to be there, this tumor, hey, the great physician worked. Let me just tell you, it wasn't that they saw something that wasn't there. It wasn't that there was a shadow. It wasn't anything like it. I want to tell you something. Our great physician still works physically in our bodies too." But I've had people stand up and say, "Preacher, you just won't believe it. They told me there was a tumor, but when I went back for my scan, it was gone." Yes, I do believe it because I know the great physician. Do you want to know something? That's awesome. That's wonderful. Man, what a celebration we ought to have. We should not take that benefit for granted. But I want you to know more than that. When I looked into my heart, if you could have x-rayed my heart that night, you would have seen sin. If you could have seen my heart that night, you would have seen black sin in my heart. But I want you to know that after the doctor showed up, that if you looked at me now, it's all gone. It's not there any longer. And when I stand before God, I won't give an account for that sin. It has been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not sure I get the point of this." I don't care whether you do or not. I've had a good time preaching this morning. If it ain't for you, it's for me. Man, what salvation is to us. Our great physician. Yes, I'm glad that he can give us grace and that he can give us mercy. I'm so thankful for forgiveness. I'm so thankful that he can touch us physically. I'm so thankful that he can touch us emotionally. But I'm more thankful and most thankful that one night as a 7-year-old boy, I didn't have to be able to call the books of the Bible. I didn't have to tell you the Romans Road. I didn't have to go over and tell you about the second coming of Christ. I didn't have to tell you about the rapture. I didn't have to go over into Acts and tell you about tongues or anything else. The only thing that I knew is that I needed Jesus Christ, and I asked him to forgive me of my sins, and the physician showed up and changed my life. I'm thankful that I know the great physician. Hannah, if you will come on, we'll have an invitation in just a moment. Preacher, what in the world? Where did this message come from? I have no idea. But so many times we overcomplicate salvation. So many times people ask us, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but in your mind right now, if you had a friend look at you and say, "I think I need to be saved, can you tell me how?" Could you do it? Could you tell them how to do it? Hey, you're welcome to call me. You're welcome to call me at any time. I'll put my name up on the screen when Facebook Live ain't on if y'all don't have my phone number. You're welcome to my phone. You can call me and say, "Hey, preacher, my friend needs to be saved. Can you help us?" And I will do my best to help you. But I want you to know, as a believer this morning, somebody looks at you and says, "I need to know Jesus Christ." Don't overcomplicate it. Don't go, well, let me get Romans out right here. Hey, if you want to show them in the Bible, that's awesome. If you want to show them what the Romans Road is, that's good if you know it. If you want to take them to John 3:16, that's good. If you want to take them to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that's good. That's awesome. But why not just tell them about the day that you met the great physician? Why not just tell them about your life being changed? But most importantly is this. Don't overcomplicate it. You know what the Bible says that we have to do in order to be saved? We have to believe that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. Hey, you don't have to know that he lived 33 and a half years. I don't know that I know that. You don't have to know all these miracles that he done. You have to believe that God loved you so much that he allowed Jesus Christ to come die for you. You have to believe that he shed his blood for you there on that cross. And when he died, they put him in a tomb. But 3 days later, when they went back out, they said, "Why in the world do you seek the living among the dead?" That he was not there, and he's alive this morning. And then if you believe that, and you ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, the Bible says you are saved. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't go, "Well, I right here, you got to do this, and I'm not sure." Sure you are. Don't you remember the day you got saved? Church, I'm going to tell you, there's people out here that don't know the gospel. They don't know what Jesus did for them. I've met some just this week that said, "I didn't know." Lived here in the Bible Belt all of their life, and they said, "I had no idea. I believed in God, but I didn't know about this other stuff."
What are we doing, church? Hey, we're talking about football. I like football. We're talking about horses. I like horses. We're talking about hunting. I like hunting. But I want to tell you something. The great physician will change their life and change their eternity. Church, what are we doing? With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here this morning, and I believe what you said. I believe that God loved me so much that He allowed Jesus Christ to come give His life. I believe that Jesus Christ was put in a tomb, but 3 days later that He got up and He's alive today. And preacher, I don't know that I have ever asked Him to forgive me of my sin. If I died today, I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Let me tell you something. There's nothing more important than being sure that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Would you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I believe all that, but I don't know that I'm saved. Preacher, I don't know that I've ever asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. Would you just slip up your hand? I'll pray for you, and that's it. I won't come to you. I'd never embarrass you. I'd never call your name out. Preacher, I'm here and I'm saved. I know without a doubt that I'm saved. No doubt in my mind, I can tell you my testimony. But preacher, I'm not telling others like I should. Church, I think as things winding down, I think before long we'll be standing in the presence of God. But what about our friends and our loved ones? Preacher, would you just pray for me that I'll be more willing to tell others about Jesus Christ? Would you just slip up your hand? Hands all over the sanctuary. Thank you very much. Hands all over the sanctuary. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for the day that you saved me. God, I want to thank you for the day that I met the great physician, that the doctor was in the house. God, I thank you for your word and the way that you read it. Give it to us, God. Help me to read it more. Help me to take it in more. And God, I pray that most of all that you'll help me to tell others about Jesus Christ more. In Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. As you stand to your feet, as Hannah sings this morning, if you need to come and talk to God, maybe you got some lost people in your house, in your family, in your workplace, your friends that you need to come and pray about. Don't take for granted that you can come pray for them. Hey, we can stand here and say, no, I don't have nothing to pray about. Are you sure? You sure all your friends are saved? You sure all your family's saved? There's something to pray about.
Fear filled their hearts. They felt they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh. And He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. He calmed their storms, just like He will mine. If I just remember
I don't know if God was speaking to your heart or not. I believe the invitation's been sufficient. But if God was speaking to your heart and you didn't respond, it would be the very same thing as this. If I'm up here preaching one day and I just hit the ground and we've got all of these, what's this fancy thing called out here in the hallway? Yeah, one of them AEDs. Yeah, one of them things. One of them, not the DVD, get the AED out here on the wall. You had the ability to go get that thing off the wall and come help me, and you didn't do it. That's the same thing you just told God. God, you got the ability to help me, but I don't want it. I'll just lay right here and die. God can help you with whatever's going on in your heart. I know that was a little bit heavy to end the service on, but anyway, there you go. That's something for you to chew on this week. If you're watching us on Facebook today, thank you for watching us. We'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock.